Well, as promised, today on Thursday Morning Country, something a little different, and a few listeners out there in the 50-plus bracket, baby boomers, old rockers and line dancers, are now finding those dance steps aren't what they used to be, and due to the hips and knees saying sorry, worn out, now's the time to say, well, time to fix this, and get back to enjoying life. So my special guests and his assistant, who are here with me in the studio, to tell us all about how you can get back on track and start enjoying life again. And my guest being John Limbers, the first orthopaedic surgeon in New South Wales using the latest cutting-edge technology, the Mako robot, for both hip and knee replacements, and it's happening here on the Central Coast. Welcome to today's Country 94.1, Dr. John and Petrina.
Thanks very much, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, mate, and thank you very much for joining us. Dr. John, or John, let's start with the hips. What's the most common situation that would cause a person to seek a hip replacement?
Well, the most common reason for someone to need a total hip replacement is osteoarthritis of the hip, which is in most cases age-related and often tends to run in families, so there's often a genetic basis. And osteoarthritis is actually a disease of cartilage, where the cartilage of joints, such as your hip and knee and other joints too, wears out. A series of microscopic biochemical changes happens, and then the cartilage wears out. And in severe cases, there's no cartilage left. And then, therefore, it's bone rubbing against bone. And bone has nerve endings in it, and that's why it's so painful. So, for example, in the cases of hips, you have bone rubbing against bone, hurts when you walk, hurts when you move in bed at night, and that's very painful. There are other causes for needing a hip replacement, less commonly, such as trauma or fractures. Someone breaks their hip, they need a hip replacement sometimes. Rarer things like rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory arthritis, or abnormalities of the way your hip is formed, a shallow hip socket. So there are other reasons. But osteoarthritis is the most common cause.
Yeah, that's... And as you've just covered it, the main cause being more age-related, that sort of thing, or...
Yeah, that's right, age-related. As you get older, these things tend to increase.
Sure.
Over 50s, over 60s, absolutely.
Okay, well, can you walk us through how you'd prepare a patient for robotic hip surgery? And as all patients' size and shapes are different, how do you plan their surgeries?
Well, as with any surgery, the first, the most important thing is a really good communication with the patient and making sure that firstly they need the operation. So the first thing is to make sure they've trialled thorough non-operative treatment. A lot of symptoms can be well controlled with simple Panadol or paracetamol, anti-inflammatories and stronger analgesics as necessary, as directed by the GP, physiotherapy, you know, heat packs, many things to help them. But then often those things are no longer helping, and that's when you talk about a hip replacement or a knee replacement. And the first thing about preparation is explaining to the patient exactly what is involved. You know, establishing, do they need a hip replacement? Do they want it? Do they understand what's involved? Do they understand the post-operative, the course after the operation? Do they understand the risks and the benefits? Always you need to start with that before you start thinking about robotics and the latest technology and how you're going to do the operation. Always important. Communication, really, really important. Moving on to the next stage, the patient decides that they want a hip replacement. And then two things that I do with a hip replacement is I use an anterior approach, meaning that I go through the front, meaning that there's no completely between muscles and no damage to muscles, and that has been shown to give a much quicker recovery in the first 6 weeks. And then the other component is the use of the robotic technology, and that has been shown to increase accuracy. And so the next step is that they have a CAT scan, actually. And they have a hip replacement, a total hip replacement, done on their CAT scan. So they have a virtual total hip replacement. So I'm looking at the patient's total hip replacement on their CAT scan, even though they haven't had it yet. And then I spend about 5 minutes changing that plan around, making sure that I'm really happy with it. So there's a lot of actual, you know, those CAT scans will often go to America or go to Sydney to be what we call segmented, which means a technician does the hip replacement on that CAT scan. So this is all happening before we even do the operation. And then they have an education session at the hospital as well. They get blood tests, you know. So there is actually quite a lot of things to do in preparation for their robotic total hip replacement before we even get there and do it.
So by the time the patient gets into surgery, you've got it all planned out what you're going to do.
And detail. And
can you make changes as you go along?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the beauty of it. It's a level of detail and sophistication that we never had before. And it's been validated and it has been shown to be more accurate. So moving on to the actual operation itself, I've had a good look at the plan. I've changed it round. I've often changed sizes, position, you know, into the way that I want it to be of their hip replacement, of their socket and their ball component to their hip replacement. Then I get I get scrubbed up. The patient gets prepped and draped like any other operation. Then I do the anterior approach to their hip, go between the muscles, expose their hip joint. I then put three tiny little pins actually in their opposite hip, above their opposite hip with a marker, and I mark 30 points inside the hip. That all goes to a camera. And what then that does is that matches the patient to their CAT scan. So it makes the plan live. So that's the next step. And then I can change the plan around further if I want. And that's particularly relevant with total knee replacement, robotic total knee replacement, which we'll talk about soon. But I can do that with a hip replacement as well.
Wow.
And then I bring in the robot after that and the robot does the operating.
Gee, things have certainly come a long way from the good old days about cutting and sawing, and as you've explained, less invasive and less painful.
Well, that's right. With the robotic anterior hip replacement, what makes it less invasive and less painful is doing it through an anterior approach, going through the front. And the robotics, after we mark the hip joint, when I prepare the cup and then put the cup component in, so the socket part of your hip replacement, that's when the robot comes in. And instead of me doing it manually by my own judgment, the robot comes in, I press the trigger, and I just push, and it does the operating. And it puts the cup in. I hit the cup to get it put in, but the robot judges position. And so then I put in the trial stem of the hip replacement, and the robot, the system gives me readings. Is it long enough? Is it short enough? You know, to make sure it's all in the right position. And the whole thing about the robotic technology is that as I'm doing it, the robot will only put that cup in the position that it's planned. I can't override it. If I want to change it, I have to change the plan. So in other words, I could try to plunge in, it won't let me, it'll cut out. What that means is it's a much higher degree of sophistication and accuracy than we've ever had before. And as you can imagine, every few years a new generation of this technology comes out. So it's fantastic.
Oh, certainly sounds like it too. What are the recovery times with the robotic surgery for a hip, say, compared to 10 years ago? And are your patients enjoying the results?
Patients have always loved total hip replacement surgery. It's been around since the 1960s. And it was described by the Lancet as the operation of the 20th century. It's highly successful as far as pain relief, recovery, and getting back to function, getting back to work, and anything we do is designed to improve that. We should always be improving what we do. We should never do what we've always done. We should always be looking to do better. And so these advances, robotics being more accurate, the anterior approach being less invasive and a quicker recovery, these mean that patients do have less pain and quicker return to mobility than they used to have, say, 10, 20 years ago. And so typically, after I will do a hip replacement through an incision that's about 10 centimetres long, it will typically take me an hour and 15 minutes. We put a local anaesthetic infusion catheter in at the end with lots of local anaesthetic infiltration so they don't wake up in pain. They're up, I get them up. If you have a hip replacement with me or a knee replacement for that matter, I get you up walking twice the next day. And the reason is the quicker you get up, the less chance you have of lying around getting blood clots and complications. You're typically in hospital 4 or 5 nights. You can drive 4 to 6 weeks later. You'll get most people take 6 weeks off work, you'll typically get most of your recovery in the first 6 weeks and keep improving for 3 to 6 months. And a lot of these techniques are designed for a quicker recovery. So, for example, I get patients in the hydrotherapy pool after hip and knee replacement after 5 days. So it's if you compare what we do now to get back to your question, compared to 10 years, 20 years ago, it's about less pain and a quicker functional recovery. That's what we're always after. That's what we're constantly trying to improve. And that's why we do these things, as well as hopefully improve the long-term results if these if these technologies are more accurate.
Well, that's terrific, isn't it? Let's move on to the other area of your expertise, where you use the robotic surgery, knees and partial knee replacements. Now, can you update the listeners on the difference here between partial and full replacement?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like the hip, osteoarthritis of the knee is a disease of cartilage. A lot of it is is due to trauma. So, you know, people who've had fractures, footballers who've had, you know, soccer players, netballers who've had ligament injuries and ligament reconstructions in the past and damaged their joints. A lot of it is also just because of genetics and age. And so, again, the knee is worn out, the cartilage is worn out, it's bone rubbing against bone. Same as the hip, a thorough trial of non-operative treatment, weight loss if necessary, physiotherapy, anti-inflammatories, a knee guard, paracetamol. And then if you come to joint replacement after those things are no longer working, we think of a partial knee replacement or a total knee replacement. Now, the difference is this. Some people, there are different what we call compartments in your knee. There's the inner compartment or the medial compartment. There's the lateral compartment or the outer compartment. And there's the front of your knee behind your kneecap. So we think of your knees having three compartments, even though it's one joint. If you have arthritis and pain that really only affects one part of your knee, and that's commonly the inner side, and the rest of your knee is very good, then you are a candidate for a partial knee replacement. And that means that we just replace that part of your knee. So we don't replace your whole knee, we replace just part of your knee. If, as most people do by the time they come to surgery, you have arthritis and pain elsewhere in your knee, so in the outer part of your knee, in the front of your knee, then a partial knee replacement won't work for you and you need a total knee replacement. So that's the difference. Now, the advantage of a partial knee replacement is, as you can imagine, we're replacing less of your knee. That means a smaller incision, a quicker functional recovery, and a knee that feels more like a natural knee. So that would be the advantage of a partial knee replacement. But you have to be careful. If you do a partial knee replacement in someone who really needs a total knee replacement, then the failure rate is high. It will fail early. So you have to have a surgeon who really knows how to guide you and to choose which is best for you.
Yeah, well, the recovery times for knees, John, for example, if I had both knees done with this amazing technology, how long before I could resume big wave surfing and bull riding?
Well,
no, on a serious note, normal day-to-day pursuits, say golfing, walking, dancing, just generally well-being, how long before one could resume being comfortable with these pursuits again after the operation? And post-op, are your patients happy with their results?
So it's similar to a hip replacement, although, to be honest, knee replacement is harder to get over than hip replacement, mainly due to there being more soft tissue and more muscle around the hip. But it is a similar recovery. So if you have a robotic total knee replacement, you will get over most of it in the first 6 weeks. And a full recovery will be typically 3 to 6 months. And some people may keep improving for a year or longer. But really, most of it in the first 6 weeks. Now, again, like a total hip replacement, lots of local anaesthetic infusion catheter, you're up and walking twice the next day. You will typically drive after 4 to 6 weeks if it's your right knee. You will typically, say, take 6 weeks off work. Gradually, gently reduce golfing, get back to things like golf after 6 to 12 weeks. So you'd be, you know, expecting to gradually resume golf at 6 weeks or a little bit and, you know, really playing golf well by 3 months is a ballpark figure for things like that.
Wow, that'd keep the golfers happening. And you're currently using this amazing innovation here on the Central Coast at Gosford Private Hospital. And do you have a website listeners can go to either contact you or source more information?
Yeah, sure. As well as the Gosford Private Hospital website, there's my own website. And my website is drjohnlimbers.com.au. That has a lot of information about robotic total knee replacement, robotic partial knee replacement, and robotic total hip replacement. And really, the great innovation of all these is robotic knee replacement. It's really good because what we can do with robotic total knee replacement and partial knee replacement is balance the knee a lot more accurately and a lot less invasively. So there is good evidence to show that when you have a total knee replacement with robotic technology, there is less soft tissue trauma. There have been scientific and research studies showing that there is less damage to the soft tissues, and the same with partial knee replacement, and it's more accurate. So yeah, you can get more information on those websites.
Well, that's amazing. Dr. John, thank you for joining us today and giving us a heads up on robotic surgery. And like myself, I'm sure our listeners would have found your overview of the process very, very informative. And remember, listeners, for further information, read the surgeries performed by Dr. John on the Mako robot. The website is www.drjohnlimbers.com.au. And thank you both again for joining me here today on today's Country 94.1.